Hey guys, Paddy here. Hello once again, and thank you once again, and as always, for downloading the show. This is the It's Not All About Me podcast, a podcast featuring a guy with ME and a microphone. That's me, Paddy. So, how you doing? How you been this week? I've had a pretty, I'm still recovering from that week off that I took, I think, and trying to get used to being back in, participating in life again. I think it takes, whenever I get ill, and I know it's a real, like, going to be a bad one, like it was a couple of weeks ago when I had to take a week off everything, from the show, from, you know. Whenever I say everything, what's everything these days anyway? And that sounds a bit bleak and downhearted, but you know what I mean, you know. If you know, my wife was to say, she's going to take a week off everything, that would mean her job, it would mean socialising, it would mean health and fitness, it would mean, tons of stuff. If I say, I'm going to take a week off everything, it means I'm not going to go on Twitter, and I'm not going to post a weekly podcast, and, you know, that's about it. But you know, that's still important to me, and I'm still very grateful that I can do that, because I know there might be people listening right now who can't even do that, and they think, oh, Twitter, I'd love to go on Twitter like some terrible Monty Python sketch. I think there's a kind of a decline there. I feel it in my bones, you know, I feel it in my head that a crash is imminent. But then post-crash, once I do rest, which I'm glad to say that I did this time, as soon as I felt the symptoms coming on, I didn't exacerbate them, I accepted them, and just took a week off. But I think recovering from that as well is just a slow process. It's almost like there's, for me, on this occasion, it can be longer, it can be shorter, but for me on this occasion, it's like there was a week of illness preceded by a week of decline, at least, maybe 10 days of decline, and then followed by, after the week of illness and total rest, followed by maybe a week of getting back up to what I might like to consider normal. So it's a month, isn't it? Pretty much, around the illness, the decline, the illness crash, and then the recovery is about a month. And I know for some people that's a year. You know, I've spoken to lots of people, and that's a year process. So I've got something to be grateful for, that's not me. And if it is you, I my heart goes out to you, and I hope that we can keep you company on this little show when you are on the in the middle of that. Talking of gratitude, got to say once again, thank you very much to Rosa Devine for coming on the show last week. It's still a conversation that I'm kind of processing in my head. There were some, every time somebody comes on, I add to my thinking. And isn't that the way, I guess, most human interactions should be? That they build to our overall experience and help us to see the world slightly differently. And Rosa certainly did. So thank you very much to Rosa. And, I think a lot of people got a lot from that show. So, very grateful for Rosa coming on. Sorting out guests for next week at the moment. So stay tuned for that. And if you want to come on the show, if you want to come on the show for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, you want to share your experience, share a story, share a little piece of your experience, whatever it is, then get in touch. So I'm on Twitter at @ZeroAllAboutMe. I'm on email at itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com. And those are in the show notes below as well. There's also a closed Facebook group, which is, you know, quiet, but there if you want it, to talk about the show or have more frequent interactions what would the word be? Not exclusive, but more private interactions with me or anybody else, then that's a way to do that. That sounds weird, Does that sound like I'm soliciting? A little bit. I'm not. slow start. So let's have a sip of coffee and just sit there for a second. Okay. So I thought it's been a pretty heavy couple of weeks. Take it easy this week. A few things I wanted to talk about. I went to the doctor about 2 weeks ago now, and it was for something unrelated to my ME CFS. But I always, when I'm in the doctor's meeting my doctor, I always take the opportunity to ask the same questions, and you know, so I asked him and I will preface this story, as I do, I hope all, every time I share my experience, that this is only my experience with my doctor. So these are simply the experiences of just two people in this big whole world. So I'm not, you know, I can only share that. This is not a wider, what I'm about to discuss is not a wider critique or lament or even praise of the NHS or anything like that, or doctors in general or anything. You know, I'm not in a position to do that. And like I've said before, I've built a speaker's corner in this show. So if you want to come on and do that, then you're absolutely welcome. All views are welcome here. You know, it's all part of your, if it's your experience, then please come on and share it, you know. But my experience this time I went to the doctor was as follows. So I was there for something else, but I always ask, hey, any new thinking in the world of ME? CFS, and my doctor was kind of hesitant to answer that, and so I said to him, hey, you know, you wouldn't tend to diagnose ME that much, would you? And he said, well, where did you get your diagnosis? And I told him how I had got ill at work quite a few times, a familiar story for many of you, and that they had insisted I see the private medical people that they provided as part of the package. And I did that. And I also saw a local doctor. This was in whenever I lived in Oxfordshire in England about 5-6 years ago. And the young doctor I had seen in Oxfordshire, the NHS doctor, had suggested there might be, after running all the tests and nothing had come up abnormal at all. It was, you know, on the surface, on paper, in tests, in test tubes, by bloods, a healthy, you know, person for my age, maybe carrying a little bit too much weight, but generally healthy, you know, by on paper, but obviously sick all the time. So the doctor, the NHS doctor, had suggested that it might be ME, and this was verified, backed up, confirmed, agreed upon by the private doctor. So that's how I got my diagnosis. And my doctor was kind of frowned at that, and I'm like, yeah, what's that then? What's that look in the face? And he was like, oh, well, you know, it's kind of it's an old fashioned diagnosis. We wouldn't tend to diagnose it anymore. And I said, okay, yeah. He's like, it's, you know, he's like, we're not, he's he said that it's quite an old-fashioned diagnosis, and that's why people don't get diagnosed with ME that much. I don't know if that's a fact or not. You know, again, this is just my experience and the experience of this one individual. I don't know. I don't think you can extrapolate it to represent the entire health center, health service, nor can you extrapolate my experiences to represent everybody with ME CFS. So he said that it's an old-fashioned diagnosis. He said basically it's, you know, enough people have similar symptoms to make it a thing, but that's it. He said there's nothing else really. The fact is, he said, enough people share similar symptoms to make it of note. But that's pretty much as far as the medical fraternity goes when it comes to ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, which are, I believe, two different things now. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. So, I said, well, having said that, I said, okay, let's scrap labels, forget any, you know, names or letters or initials or acronyms. I come into your office with these ongoing persistent symptoms that are severe enough for me not to be able to work and you know, or participate fully in life. What do we do? Just forget about the fact, like, let's remove labels out of the, let's get rid of ME, let's get rid of CFS. I come to you with these things, what do we do? And he said, well, the kind of the best thinking at the moment is something called graded exercise therapy. And of course, if you're listening to me now and you have ME or CFS, you're probably, just got a little bit angry there. I've done my reading, of course, as well. I've had my personal experiences with graded exercise therapy or its ilk. I know it has not worked for me. And I'm, you know, I don't know how well it works for anybody else. And I know that some people, their experiences, it made them a hell of a lot worse, even though it was almost forced upon them by the doctor. So my doctor says, prevailing knowledge and thinking at the moment in the medical fraternity is graded exercise therapy. And I said to him, well, you know, I've been reading about the PACE trial and my fellow ME sufferers, I think I've read a lot of experience and heard a lot of experience where actually that hasn't done them that much good. And I myself have some personal experience of doing a type of graded exercise therapy, and I'm still sitting in your room today. It's, you know, it didn't do any long-term good for me. And he was like, well, you know, that's just the thinking at the moment. And that was kind of the conversation. So if we recap the highlights of that, it was, well, you know, ME, it's not really a thing, actually. You just share symptoms with somebody else, so we don't even have a real good name for it at the moment. And I don't, this doctor personally does not diagnose people with ME. And then there was, there's no treatment for this collection of symptoms that you have, except for graded exercise therapy. That's the best thing I can recommend. That was my trip to the doctor. So, you know, it was unsatisfying as usual. And look, I'm not blaming my doctor here. I'm really not. I don't think I'd have any right to blame my doctor for anything. I've got an illness. It's seems to be a pretty obscure, odd. I know we call ourselves the millions missing, but despite that, there does not seem to be a unified, even a unified agreement on what to call what we have. I should really just Google, you know, difference between ME and CFS right now. I'll tell you what, I'll pause because this is the thing. I'll speak a little bit, then I'll pause and do this research. So it's quite odd, I think, still today, to go to a doctor and them not to have the answer. You know, this show, my experience, meeting with other people, it has all kind of led to that thinking that the patients, the people with the illness, you and me, we are the experts. And that's kind of like whenever we're lobbying Parliament or trying to disagree with the results of medical trials, then that's a good banner to stand under. We are the experts. We have the illness, right? That's makes sense. If our experience is not matched by the what we're being told about something that we live with every single day, then that we are the experts banner is obviously one that needs to be listened to, right? However, it's still so very odd. The fact is, I don't want to be the expert. I don't want to have to walk into a doctor's surgery and be the expert on my illness because I'm in a doctor's surgery. I don't think it's old fashioned or you know, is it passé these days for doctors not actually to be the expert? That's what kind of frustrates me. I don't cut my own lawn. I don't wash my windows. You know, I have no money because I don't work. I still don't cut my own lawn. You know, because I'm not the lawn cutting expert here. That's the gardener who comes over and does that. And that's just grass. With my illness, all the little medically bits, I didn't go to medical school. I didn't go to, you know, train to be a doctor. I'm an idiot who stands with a microphone. That's my thing. You know, it's got me this far in life. I'm happy with my position in life, but I'm the idiot with the microphone. The doctor who studied all that time, who put all that effort into, that's the expert. Surely it must be. So to walk into the surgery for 10 minutes and be told, well, you know what, this thing that it's not even really what you have, I don't think, but I don't know what it is. And what I'm recommending you do is kind of already being quite frowned upon by people in your fraternity, and I'll see you in 6 months. That's what I was kind of left with. I'm sure they're out there, and we don't have an exclusive corner in the market of weird illnesses that people don't respect or understand, but I can't think of any other illness. Whenever you walk into the doctor's surgery and they're like, right, you've got this, do that, take this, and you'll be on the road to recovery, or at least there'll be something, there'll be a next stage, you know? But to go in and them to go, I don't even know if it's a thing. It's not, if it is a thing, it's not the thing you're talking about. So go and do Couch to 5K. That's a bit odd. I don't want to be the expert. I really don't. Because being the expert doesn't actually help me. It says, we say, oh, we're the experts because we have the illness. But we're not, because we're not. You might be an expert. You're not listened to, because doctors are experts. So who's getting listened to? It might be fine and dandy to say, we're the experts. We've been living with this illness. But then when it comes down to it, people aren't going to trust my word over a doctor. They're not going to trust my experience over a doctor's knowledge and qualifications, nor should they in many ways, if the doctor can be relied upon to carry their part of that relationship, personally and in society, in the wider society. When that doesn't happen, you kind of feel absolutely lost at sea, and I think that's what a lot of ME people feel, is that I don't know what I have. I feel very, very ill. I don't know what I have, so I don't know where to begin, and I'm not really happy with what I'm being told, because this is a chronic illness, as Rosa really, really articulated, really clearly brought to our attention last week. This is a chronic illness, right? This is over time. So I think most people, when they get ill and go to the doctor for the first time, and this is what I did, you know, whenever I first got diagnosed 6 or 7 years ago, then you're like, oh, okay, graded exercise therapy and CBT. Fantastic. That's the answer. Because you would, wouldn't you? The first time you go to the doctor and they say, here's your answer, you'll take it. Of course you will. But the third time you're told that, if you're still ill 6 years, 10 years later, you're going to be a bit like, yeah, do you have anything else? Is there anything under the counter? Anything on the top shelf there you're not telling me about? Because I was told this 6, 10 years ago, and I'm still sitting here. Yeah, where's the expert now? Because I'm still sitting here. Rosa is still, you know, sitting here. Jack, Jess, all the other people on Twitter, Petra, Suitcase Girl, everybody out there, they're all still ill. So that's clearly not really working, is it? We need something better. Okay, so it's a chronic illness. So maybe I'm expecting too much. Maybe all those people I listed and myself should still be ill because that's the illness. It is a chronic illness. But I just want a bit more, I think, from the doctor. I want a bit more. I want to be told, all right, yeah, we're trying this, we're trying that. Have you tried this? Not the same thing every time. And then I go home because I'm as I hope you know, I'm a hopeful person. I'm full of hope and gratitude. So whenever I ask those questions, every time I have an opportunity to see my doctor, there's always a kernel of hope in me that says he's going to say something different. That he's going to, you know, say, well, actually, I just read or I just heard this. But that doesn't happen, and then that's me. And if your existence is that you are restricted to staying in your house every single day, and you're a bit too tired to, you know, have visitors most days, so you're on your own, and the only time you can leave the house is whenever your wife goes somewhere with you. But she works full time, so that's just at the weekends if you've got the energy. Whenever that's your reality, walking up the street or getting the taxi to the doctor's, it's a big deal. And then the thought, whenever you leave that doctor's room with no new information, with no new hope, to go back for another 6 months to Netflix, is you know, it's not easy. It's tough. It's quite disappointing. I'm not an expert, and I don't want to be an expert. I want the doctors to be experts. And I think we need to look at maybe making that a bit better. And I, you know, that's a bit of a rant, wasn't it? That's a bit of a rant. I think a lot of people feel the way I do, and I'm probably shouting into the wind a little bit there because I know everybody has said that in different forums. And look, honestly, I'm too nice a guy to say that people aren't... I'm not blaming doctors. I'm not blaming my doctor. I'm not actually angry at my doctor. Because I do accept the other side of it, which says this is a chronic illness. A chronic illness. This is an illness that will take time, perhaps get worse over time, right? This is an ongoing illness. It's in the name. Chronic fatigue syndrome. You are fatigued quite a long time. Over time. Persistently. You are fatigued. That's the name of the illness. So what should I expect? There isn't a magic pill. You're being told you have an illness that is chronic fatigue syndrome. So yeah, get your Netflix subscription up to date because you're going to need that thing. You know, there must be, I just hope there's more sometime down the line. I tell you what, I'm not going to stop asking the doctor that question. Anything new? What do you think? Take away the labels. What would you do? What would you recommend? I'm going to ask those questions in another 5 months when I go back. Because one day I'll get a different answer. I believe that. I really do. Chronic fatigue syndrome. So, get used to it, but I guess live with it. And I suppose that's the message that Rosa was trying to deliver last week, wasn't it? I'm one of those people who you tell me, teach me a lesson, 3 years later, it'll settle in. So, getting there. I suppose a bit of honesty as well. When I first got my diagnosis, six, whatever, years ago, it was recommended that I lose, 2 stone in weight. I don't know what that is in pounds. So you can figure it out. I've quite a f I've, it's that's I don't know, 2 stone weight. You can look it up, or kilograms. I don't know. And that was what, 6 years ago, and I haven't done that. Now I know for a fact that I don't know for a fact it won't cure my illness. Maybe it's magical weight loss. I can't say. I haven't done it. That's the point. But I know it would make what energy levels I do have would be more efficiently spent around my body if I was to do that. That's just science. I can understand that. And I haven't done it. So I'm sitting here complaining about graded exercise therapy. I'm sitting here complaining about, you know, being prescribed CBT or all that for the, you know, fifth year running or whatever. But at the same time, 6 years ago or so, I was told to lose 2 stone and I haven't done that. So I'm not really meeting my doctor halfway. I'm not saying that's going to cure my ME weight loss. I just know that I can't really, it'd be churlish of me to say they're not doing their job whenever 6 years, I still haven't lost that 2 stone, have I? So I really should do that and then, you know, let you know how things are going. Because that's, I understand the science of that. That if I lost that weight, the bits inside me body would work better. And if the bits inside me body are working better, I'm going to have a little more illness. Even, you know, the bar would be raised slightly. It just would. The default setting would be raised high, would be higher. So I need to do that. Cup of coffee. Oh, tasty. Tasty coffee. Yeah. So, oh boy, I did not expect that to take almost half an hour. There we go. Did I not start off by saying we were going to have a nice relaxed one today? There we go. Let's talk a little bit. That's my experience with going to the doctor. Get in touch and share yours. It'll probably be quite similar, but I'd be very interested nonetheless. So let me know that how you feel about that little story. So what else are we going to talk about briefly? It seems, seeing as I've almost used up most of the usual time on that one. Reading. Periodically, I see on Twitter posts from Action for ME or somebody will post something, or Jack Cruxall will post something about reading. And I think I spoke briefly before about this. I love to read. I really do. Settling down on a nice comfy chair or a sunny grass or in the bath with a good book, I could while away many's a happy day doing that. I love to read. I have tattoos. All my tattoos are references to works of literature or writers. Great Gatsby tattoo. I've got a Hunter S. Thompson tattoo. I've got Winnie the Pooh tattoo. I do derive massive pleasure from reading. But I think, like a lot of people out there, with my illness, I can't read. The words get jumbled up. I don't retain the memory of what I had read previously. I so have to go back. It doesn't stay. It doesn't sink in. And it's very exhausting. It makes me lightheaded and blurry quite quickly. That's a terrible pain. Because, as I say, I derive massive satisfaction and pleasure from reading. So again, I guess pacing. I've been trying different things, and I think I said to you before, I've said several times, I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. You know, it's just my personality, and I find it hard to break out of that. I feel comfortable in the all or nothing sphere. Ironically, it brings me comfort to be either doing everything or doing nothing. I don't like middle of the road. Even though I accept and understand and know that it's probably the healthiest way to live, it's something I find quite hard. But having said that, I'm going to start today because anything is better than no reading. You know, it really is. So I'm going to try 10 minutes of reading a day, of just the one book. Because normally I might have 3 or 4 books on the go. You know, I might be reading a few weeks ago I tried to read a book on healthy eating. The Great Gatsby again. And also The Collective Plays of Samuel Beckett. And, that worked for 2 days. And I thought, oh, good, I'm back into reading again. And of course I got, you know, the illness didn't, it was like, no siree, no you're not. That's quite a lot of focus and attention there, buddy. So that lasted 2 days. And then I went back to no reading, you know, not even able to read comic books, which again, I've found to be quite good whenever I can't read actual books. So going to start today, little bits, but at least then I will eventually finish one of these books. So I'm going to do 10 minutes of one book a day and maybe one comic book. I really like the Marvel Unlimited, not promoting that. Well, I am, I suppose, in a way, because I like them. Marvel Unlimited, for whatever it is, so much a month, you get like, you know, 10, you get lots and lots of Marvel comic books to read on your iPad. And I'm working through the Ultimates, all the Ultimates universe comic books at the moment. So it's a nice long-term project. So that's quite good. So I'm going to try reading again, but in little bits. I'm trying to live in the middle and pace myself. And I'm going to read 10 minutes of a book and then a comic book every day and see if that works instead of, you know, reading for 3 hours, but then only being able to do that for 2 days. That's the definition of our illness, isn't it? Let's finish up by talking about, I just used the word pacing there. So if you are a long-term listener, you'll know that back in Christmas Eve, it was, I started talking about the pacing. Whenever one gets diagnosed or finds out you have chronic fatigue syndrome or ME, oh, we never Googled that, did we? Let's Google that next week. Okay. Whenever we you find out that you one of the first things you hear about is pacing. And I worked through the Action for ME PDF leaflet on Guide to Pacing. So I did that. And basically this entailed me recording everything I did in 15-minute chunks throughout the entire day, every action, whether it was rest, deep rest, whether it was quite, you know, big activity, and that was not just physical, but mental and emotional as well. And I had spreadsheets color-coded for every 15-minute chunk throughout the entire day. And then matching that as well, each day recording my several different symptoms, brain fog, fatigue, poor mood, and a few others several times a day as well, you know, in the hope that I could start seeing patterns. And I did that from early December through to March. So that's 4 months, 3 months. I've got reams and reams of brightly colored spreadsheets and lots and lots of symptoms. And the short answer is nothing. No pattern whatsoever. I lost about a stone over that period. My symptoms didn't change that much. I was active in parts and I rested significantly in parts, and my symptoms did not change that much. So a deep dive, a quite sophisticated dive into my illness and really tracking minute details of it, like there were no patterns to be found. So I don't know. I'm going to let that sit for like a month and see if I do anything with it. I've still got an analyst friend I might show it to in case, but yeah, I think that's my next stage. I don't see any, I should say actually, yes, no patterns were found. I didn't find any patterns. Let's be honest about that. So I will show it to an analyst friend who is their job is data analysis, and see what he can make of it, if anything. But yeah, there was no miracle pattern. If I do A, B, and C, then I'll get the result I want. So turns out I do have chronic fatigue syndrome. because it's just fatigue over time that doesn't seem to be majorly influenced by interventions or external factors, positive or negative. That's what we're left with. That brings us back around to the beginning. You know, that's what the doctor says, I guess. And it's true. My evidence, my experience, my statistics bear that out, that I have a chronic illness that is here at the moment. There are people who recover from ME/CFS. There are people who recover 90%. There are people who, as we found last week, who go back to work, who work. And as Rosa said, that's not... I went to congratulate her, and she said, well, it's not really a case for congratulations. It's just right now I can work. Might not be that way in the future. Right now I can. But I do have chronic illness. Maybe I need to stop trying to be a junior detective and solve this. Maybe I need to stop giving doctors a hard time because it's a chronic illness. But I remain hopeful, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep asking those questions because one day I will get a different answer. So I hope that's sooner rather than later. But in the meantime, I will endeavor to lose that weight because I'm not really holding up my side of the bargain. It's not going to change things that much, but I should really do it if it's been recommended or otherwise. I've got no leg to stand on when it comes to criticizing others for not, you know, pulling their weight or whatever. Geez, that's a kind of a higgledy-piggledy show this week. We've still managed to go almost 40 minutes. That was a little picnic of chitter chatter this week. We'll have a guest next week. But for this week, yeah, lots to kind of mull over. That's been my experience this week. That's all I ever share, I hope. And I'd love to have your experience. I'd love to have the benefit of your experience. I think it is beneficial. So please get in touch again on Twitter, @0allaboutme. On email, itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com. And get in touch, come on the show, get in touch privately, have a chat. My door is always open, you know. I am going to be in within 20 minutes hitting that sofa, hitting that Netflix button. So, you know, get in touch and it'll be nice to hear from you. It's a lonely existence sometimes. Having this illness, because even if we are surrounded by loved ones, and I am, I'm very grateful for that, I don't have the energy for them all the time, you know? So it doesn't matter how many people care about me or are thinking of me and all that, if I don't have the energy to engage with them, then, you know, it can be hard. So the occasional, I know the benefit of the occasional tweet, which is why if I ever see you having a hard time on Twitter, I'll always try and take the time to send you a pleasant message because I know what a difference that makes. Yeah. I think that's about it. Has this been a down episode again? I don't know. Maybe not down. It's just sharing of experience. It's the reality of the illness for me, I guess. So let's end on a song. And yeah, I don't know. Whatever works for you. Finish up this podcast and put on a nice song on your Spotify or your Apple Music or your vinyl record player or your tape deck or your CD player or your Zune or your iPod or your Sony Walkman or your late mini disc player, and put on one of your favorite tunes and have a little smile. I think I'll do that as well. And till next week, have the best day that you can. Take care of yourself and each other. Cheers.